Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, wind's in my ear.
Hello and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft, and we will be boldly going out into the potosphere once again where no therapists have gone before, or failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, liberty, and the search for a decent relationship. And we will be joined once again toward the end of the show by psychologist Mark Kieftar, clinical director of Bayside Neurorehabilitation Services, with some cutting-edge brain research in our segment called A Minute on the Mind. Good morning, Hughes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, buddy. You're here.
Super, that's a mouthful.
Yeah. That's us, buddy. That's us.
Hey, listen, I wanted to say that, you know, our third darn guy here, who's been in an undisclosed location for a period of time here, I had a Dave sighting over the weekend.
No.
Yes, he's getting closer to joining us on the show, and I did see him in person from a distance, you know, so well, I'm sure he's going to materialize one of these days. So,
how's he look? I
wanted to let you know. You know? He looks like he's been in an undisclosed location.
Oh, wow. Was he balanced, do you think?
He looked joyfully balanced. He had a nice smile on his face, and yes, he looked like he was in balance. So, go for it.
So we're gonna have to try to have a balanced show here today, since we're on talking about balance. Excellent topic, really important topic. I think it's, you know, it's what it's all about and what we're trying to achieve.
It is. And I, you know, I think it's an important topic this time of year because it's a little crazy out there, you know.
Yeah.
This time of year, with the plants growing and the temperatures changing and the school season kind of in the, you can see the finish line, and there's just lots to do. I kind of see lots of squirrels and birds busy, so I can only imagine that we humans tend to get a little busier this time of year in a crazy little crazy way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I wanted to start out with, you know, is to remind people and remember that balance is also a verb. I mean, it's not that we're going to, you know, just achieve balance once and for all. It's constantly a process of trying to get back to that, and so we're always adjusting. One of the metaphors that I think about is you know, remember when you first started to ride a bicycle, and you were constantly trying to, you know, move that wheel to stay balanced, and now when you ride a bicycle, it happens a lot more automatically, and the changes are a lot more subtle. And you can do a lot more of it unconsciously. But, you know, in the beginning, there need to be some real focus on that. And sometimes you need to make some hard course corrections. So balance is an ongoing process.
Chronic, constant changes to keep that bike upright. I mean, I remember the first time I was learning how to ride a bike, I crashed right into a tree, so I wasn't making the appropriate adjustments, but, you know, that's kind of what can happen if we're not paying attention to our lives.
Well, that explains a lot, Hughes.
Thank you very much.
So another thing I think about is, you know, in order to achieve really healthy balance, you need to know about and remember what all the elements are that you should be including in that balance. You know, so one of the first things you have to do is kind of know yourself, you know, and know what's important for you to be living and balance in your life. I mean, if you're an extrovert, you need a certain amount of social, social stimulation. If you're not getting that, it's not going to feel balanced. If you're an introvert, you need a lot less of that, but you need more of that quiet time. And you really need to know. You really need to pay attention to the fact of getting some private time, some quiet time, because that for an introvert, that's what refuels you in a lot of ways. So we're talking about, you know, expending energy and conserving energy and replenishing energy. And what are those things for you personally, particularly, that that make that happen?
Yeah, it is an interesting topic, especially this time of year, thinking about the added requests in our lives for
mm-hmm.
energy, you know. And I think that piece that you just mentioned around really knowing ourselves, what our limits are, when we can show up in added ways, you know, it's really important
mm-hmm.
to kind of know the rhythm of our own lives and to pay attention to that. I sometimes fall prey to and see other people who are kind of pulled in so much that maybe they're not paying attention to themselves, and they get stretched out, stressed. You know, there can be all sorts of things that follow up with that: feelings of anger, resentment, depression, apathy. You know, and it's really a place of disconnect from one's life, and it can take away from the joy of being in relationships or the day-to-day stuff that we all involved in. So, you know, it really is important. It may seem like a really simple word, balance, but
yeah.
There's a lot to it. There's a really important to it.
Right.
So,
yeah, I just jotted down some things that I think go into the elements that we need to think about balancing. And one is the relaxation, you know, having some really relaxing downtime, sleep, exercise, a balanced diet, that word balance again, some spiritual element in your life. I think that, you know, it can be all kinds of things, but sort of tuning in or focusing on something greater than ourselves, bigger than ourselves, outside of ourselves. Hard work, I think, is an important one. You know, I think we need that satisfaction of being able to really expend ourselves in doing something important and that we like. Intellectual stimulation, I think, is important. And fun. One of the things I think of is dance. You know, the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche said that we should consider any day lost that we have not danced at least once. And I don't think he was dancing. He's talking about dancing the minuet every day or whatever the heck they did back then. Probably not the minuet in Germany, but I think that sense of kind of dancing with creation, dancing with life, dancing with nature. So you gotta think about all of those elements and how do you include them in a balanced way in your life.
Mm. Well, any of those things, that's quite a list that you put forth, and any one of those is worthy of a discussion onto itself. I was thinking sleep, for example. I mean, you know, how do you know how much sleep you need? You know, and I think it's an interesting example, an interesting test, not to wake up by alarm clock. You know,
see how many
hours you needed that night, and then kind of,
right.
you know, maybe do that a few times, and it'll give you a kind of a baseline for what your body may need. We're so
mm-hmm.
encouraged to kind of sleep less or, you know, to kind of get a lot out of the day that, you know, a lot of people are walking around chronically tired.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm not saying you're going to stay in bed for 12 hours, but, you know, some people need 8, some people need 6. Research suggests that over, you know, as you get older, you need less time. Kids definitely need, good 8 hours, 10 hours in some cases.
At least. Yeah. I remember when I was a teenager, getting up at noon was kind of the standard.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there are some schools that are adjusting their schedules back, which is really encouraging, you know, just to kind of help these kids get through school. But, you know, just that sleep is really a big issue. I mean, it's no fun going through the day tired.
Right, exactly. And it's hard to even, you know, tune into what you need. If you're tired, you don't have that mental sharpness or acuity to to really be able to see that or focus on that. So all of this about, you know, knowing yourself, giving yourself the time and the option to looking into what feels balanced in my life, what feels out of balance. Trying to get all these things in there, like you said, there's a lot of them, and then our culture, doesn't really encourage us to be balanced. There's all kinds of temptations there from all of our materialism and all the things that we think we need. The media is always distracting us, and there's always this push for instant gratification. So it's a big it's a big pressure on us. But so one of the things I think of is this idea that Stephen Covey had. It was in his book, The Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. And he said to think of the priorities in your life, and I think that list that we talked about a minute ago should include most of those, if not all of those, as priorities in your life, and to think of the priorities in your life as rocks, and the things that you have to do, the trivial things that you're constantly besieged with, but you don't really have to do right now, but you sort of get caught up with, as sand. And if you try to fill a bucket with the sand first, which is what a lot of us do, get caught up in this little nitpicky and that little nitpicky, then there's no room left for the rocks, or not as much room left for the rocks. If you put the rocks in that bucket first, and then put the sand in, the sand will find its way in and around all those rocks, and there'll be room for the sand, and it'll just find its way. So you see the rocks as those things that you have to get done first, those things that you put in your bucket, put in your life, put on your schedule first, so that they get done, and then the other little things will fill in all the nooks and crannies.
Nice. That's a really neat metaphor, and it definitely ties in with that list. And speaking of lists, I mean, just to kind of dovetail here a little bit, people get stressed out just making their list every day, but maybe what needs to be at the top of the list are those very important things that we've been talking about, the eating,
right,
the sleeping, the spiritual, the fun. Put those on the list, too, and move those other things down the list a little bit, and, maybe they'll get taken care of in ways that will surprise you.
Exactly, and if they're not that important, sometimes they'll just disappear. It's amazing some of the things that we fill our life up with that when we really are engaged in something more important or better for us, they don't seem so important, or we don't need them as much.
Yes, the proverbial, like, running faster to catch up to get to the bottom of my list. I feel completed, but why am I so exhausted and so resentful or feeling unfulfilled? Well,
right,
let's look at the things on the list. Let's
yeah,
get back to some
right,
really basic life-fulfilling, means here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, one of the things I think about as something that gets in the way are excesses, or our obsessions, that we put in a lot of time on things that we sort of seem to be driven to do. And I think that can be a clue as to what's missing in our lives.
Mm.
If we really analyze that and look at that, what is it that I'm really obsessed with? And what is it that I'm trying to make up for or fill in with those obsessions or those excesses?
Do you have an example of that? Do you have an example of that?
I don't at the moment.
What just came up for me, and I don't know if this plays into what you're
sure
talking about here, but if I'm obsessed with money,
yep,
maybe I'm missing value.
And
maybe I'm missing value in my life. Maybe I'm missing something of value in my life. Maybe it's not about the money necessarily, but about how am I valuing my life, or qualifying my life. Does that kind of fit with what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, you have to look at whether what you're doing is actually feeding you or filling you, filling your soul or filling your person. You know, a lot, like you're talking about with money or material objects. A lot of people, you know, want to have a new this and a new that, but it doesn't sort of sink in and really approach or appeal to that dark hole in them of something that's missing. So if you can analyze those things and like you said, you know, with money, something of value. What is it of value that's missing? You want to be admired. You want to be special. You want to be looked up to by having expensive things. Is that doing it for you? Are you really addressing that need down deep inside you? So.
Wow. So. Overarching, what we're also talking about here is figuring out a way to step back, take a deep breath, get some objectivity if we're kind of caught up in all this stuff, pursuit of stuff or kind of exhausting stuff, and really taking an inventory of what's valuable, what could be on the top of our list day to day, and maybe how to make some changes for a healthier, balanced day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do. It's hard to step back sometimes, you know, because
there's
so many things pulling and tugging at us. One thing that came up for me thinking about our conversation today was that, you know, sometimes we're so in our lives, sometimes we have to get out of them in order to kind of look back in at some of the changes we need to make or making some changes along the way. And one of the things that came up for me was, you know, sometimes I need to leave and go to a coffee shop with my wife and talk about what changes we need to make at home versus trying to make the changes at home because there's so much going on all the time. It's hard to have that conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Balance. So yeah, right. Kind of to deliberately gain some distance might be helpful.
Yeah. Distance, quiet time, you know, meditating on some of these issues.
Learning to say no. That's a heavy word. Just two
Absolutely.
Letters. And it's a hard word for a lot of people to say.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah. Right. Well, what do you say? Shall we go to Dr. Mark Kiefner, one of the most balanced people I know, for a little insight into this topic? Are you there, Mark?
I am there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Good morning,
oh,
Mark.
Beautiful. Good morning, guys. You know, I was just listening to you guys, and there's a beautiful book by a guy named Robert Gruden. The book is called Time and the Art of Living, and it's a book in which he discusses the notion that balance is about living with an awareness of the lessons of the past and a vision. Holding in mind a vision of the future, and and what he's really talking about there is how we use our memory in our day-to-day life, and neuroscientists might call that retrospective memory and prospective memory. And we don't often think about memory as something that occurs in the future. We tend to think of it as something that occurs for events in the past. But what we actually do is we remember into the future in a certain kind of way, and I think that balance in our lives requires us to recall the past, its aches, its pains, its glorious moments. Why are they only moments? And
right.
Why is it that
something out of balance there? I think
something out of balance there, isn't it? You know, caught myself there, didn't I?
Really.
So you know what we do is we use that retrospective memory. That memory of the past, and the information it contains to make the best decisions we possibly can as we live in this moment. But if we don't hold in mind the future at the same time, we're likely to make decisions that are less balanced. In other words, that don't get us to where we want to go in the long run. And we get caught up, as you guys were talking about, in our obsessions or in our wishes or our kind of addictions or our craziness or whatever. Interestingly, there's been some recent research where they've looked at that ability to envision the future, and people who have various kinds of neurologic injuries, like strokes or brain injuries, who have memory impairments also have great difficulty envisioning the future. They can't look ahead and see what they might be. And but for those of us who don't have those kinds of injuries, there are lots of other things that affect our memory in the present, and one of those is stress. And you guys were talking about breathing, getting some distance, taking a break. You know, stress causes us to release cortisol in our brain, and actually cortisol interferes with the effective regulation of our memory systems. And that causes us to lose sight of what's really important. And so how do you reduce cortisol? You do the exact same things you guys were talking about. You breathe. You meditate, you get distance from the painful situation. And so what we're really talking about here is not just balancing our lives, but if we can activate our memory system to take advantage of our knowledge, our inherent wisdom from our experiences in the past, we have a much better chance of making decisions that take us in the right direction in the future. So that's go ahead.
Right. Somebody go ahead.
I thought I heard one of you guys wanting to say something.
Okay, I'll go ahead.
Well, okay, you go ahead, Jim.
I'm going to go ahead. I think it's interesting that you sort of helped balance us out here a little bit as we were focused on the present and in the now and to bring in the future and the past, and I can actually picture that balancing things out in terms of how you focus on what it is that's important now from what you've learned from the past and what you want from the future, and that's a nice balance to what we've been talking about.
You know, we often have this sort of notion that if we just live in the present, that will somehow that'll make life better. But if we, I work all the time with people who are trapped in the present, and it's an amazingly unpleasant experience to not have a sense of hope, and
right.
To not have a sense of where you're headed. I mean, it's very much that sense. If you don't know where you're headed, it's very much that sense of being lost. Which isn't comfortable at all. Anyway, that's my minute on the mind for today, guys.
Super. That was more than a minute,
but
it needed to be more than a minute to help balance us out.
So.
Not to overuse that metaphor.
So where's all this going?
Where's it all going?
Where are you guys going with this?
Well, we're going to the achievement of balance. As I said before, you came on with us. That balance really is a verb, and you need to constantly be tweaking that all the time, because there's always pressures from everywhere. Things grabbing for your attention and your time. And Hughes brought up a really good, important notion of saying no to those things that other people demand of you or want from you that is going to distract you from some of your balance. I mean, there are lots of things that people depend on you for, and you have responsibilities and those kinds of things, but you also, need to be real, real clear about when to say no to things that aren't of as much value as the other things that you could be doing, or the other things you could be doing for them. So, I was talking about obsessions. A lot of people will ask you for things that really isn't going to enhance them or enhance their lives. They don't kind of get that. And if you can again step back, stop, and say, how about if I do this for you instead? It'd be more gratifying to me, more satisfying for you, and we'll take up a different amount, probably less time. If you can focus on what's really, really essential or really important.
Yeah. I like that.
Simplify. Yeah, me too.
You like what?
I like that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Go ahead there, Hughes.
I was just going to say we've hit this balanced place in this conversation. We're kind of this is good. That's
interesting.
Important information.
I was thinking, that's good, Hughes. I was thinking dead air, but you're right.
You're thinking stress, and I'm thinking we've arrived,
So, I think that's a really good reminder, a really good point for us sometimes to know and notice those times of ease, those times where, nothing more needs to be said at the moment or done at the moment, and just savor that and relax into it.
Great.
The thing that I always kind of struggle with in these conversations, how much time do we have, is the question of, what really is important in life? How do you really discern that? Make that clear. And I suppose that's an individual kind of answer. But I always wonder if there are some universals to that.
Some universal truths and then some real personal truths.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think, one of the things is to get in touch with the fact that we only have this, one precious life, and it's pretty finite. And, what do you want to do with that one precious life? It's a line from a Mary Oliver poem. It's a great poem. And so you put it in that perspective, that time is not unlimited. Time is finite. And you want to enjoy life. You want to make a contribution of life. You want to be a part of the world. And I do think it takes some real examining, the examined life in terms of what is it all about, and how you come up with that. So you gotta have some meditation in your life. You've got to have some focus on that in your life. But like you said, learning from the past and having some sense of what it is you want it to be in the future.
Yeah, that's really an important thing to do. I'm going to try to do that later today.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
I hope the other people listening to this will do the same. I'm gonna try to do the same. So we've got about 60 seconds to wrap up, or maybe 45 seconds before we go out with some music. Any last thoughts, guys?
Well, I think the end of the talk, I everybody to go out and either sit for a few reflective moments today, do some deep breathing, and do something for themselves as a way of rebalancing their day.
Excellent.
That is my challenge to everybody.
All right.
I'm with you.
Mark?
See you guys.
Okay, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
Indeed. So see you guys next week, and enjoy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So many times, Lord, and you take my hand, put it in your
Girl.
winds in my ears.